This is your Wednesday night Dynamite fix here for September 23rd, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. As you saw there with the opening graphic, Road Warrior Animal, WWE Hall of Famer, passed away last night at the age of 60. Both Road Warriors now gone. Hawk passed away in 2003, and now here in 2020, we lost the other half of the Legion of Doom. Passed away on his wedding anniversary. If you go to Road Warrior Animal's Twitter, his last tweet was a picture of his wife. I believe they may have been off somewhere celebrating their anniversary. Here 1 minute, gone the next. It's been a rough year for wrestling. If you are a wrestler or if you are a wrestling fan, when you think about all the people, all the legends that have been lost, Kamala, Howard Finkel, we had Bullet Bob, right? Bullet Bob Armstrong passed away. Rocky Johnson, The Rock's father, which I believe was earlier this year. Shad Gaspard. I consider him a legend as far as a legendary human being for what he did. So I would lump him in there. And a lot of people who have passed away. And now Animal is on that list as well. And, you know, I spent a good chunk of the podcast back in May talking about the Road Warriors after the Road Warriors special aired on Dark Side of the Ring. I did a whole review, half an hour. It's on the YouTube channel, actually, if you want to go back and check out the whole segment. And Animal was interviewed for that episode. He was interviewed for that episode, and we got to hear a lot of Road Warrior stories. And it's hard to argue, you know, the greatest tag team of all time. Certainly one of the most, if not the most decorated team of all time. These are two guys who put the fear of God into you. Whether you were an opponent of theirs, especially some of those enhancement guys that they wrestled on those studio shows back in the 80s. So whether you were a wrestler, whether you were a, you know, whether you were a young fan like me. And look, when I was a young fan, I watched more Demolition than I did LOD. I saw LOD more, obviously, when they came to WWE in 1990. But, you know, I would see them on the magazines with the face paint and the chains around the neck and everybody knew who they were. They were all over the place, and they had that look with the mohawk and the face paint and everything and the spike shoulder pads. I mean, they looked like a bunch of badasses because they were. And they're the only team in history to be NWA, AWA, and WWE Tag Team Champions. Nobody could ever do that again. There's a reason they call it the Road Warrior Pop. Even to this day, you'll hear wrestlers use that expression. Oh, we got the Road Warrior Pop. Because these guys were popular wherever they went. Whether it was the NWA or WWE or overseas in Japan, wherever it may have been, these guys were big stars pretty much everywhere they went. And unfortunately, it was too bad. You know, Hawk and Animal, I don't know. It's too bad they don't really make tag teams like that anymore. I mean, I could go on and on about tag teams. You know, now we got to watch on Monday nights. We got fucking Teabag and Slapdick or whatever the hell. It's not the same. It is definitely not the same. But I'll have more to say about the Road Warriors this Sunday on Sound Off 671 as we get more information as well about what happened. But again, my thoughts are with his family. I know his son, you know, played football there for a while, his brother, John Laurinaitis. So, you know, he had his hooks pretty good in the industry, a lot of friends, and it was a big loss. It's a big loss for the wrestling business today. When I heard about the changes earlier today to tonight's Dynamite, because there were some big changes to tonight's Dynamite episode. One event that took place changed a lot of what we saw on the show tonight, changed the main event. And that involved Lance Archer, who I'm going to talk about here in a second. But it was only a few months ago, Eddie Kingston, who's been around forever. I mean, Eddie Kingston, he talked about it on the show tonight, right? 18-year career. A few months ago, Eddie Kingston had to sell his gear just so he can make mortgage payments on his home, just so he can keep a roof over his head. The pandemic has hit people in a lot of different ways, and that's what he had to resort to. And here he was live tonight on TNT wrestling for the AEW World Championship in the main event. Now, I can't think of a cooler story than that. That's pretty cool. And I felt pretty good for him that he was able to be in that position. But the reason this all came about is because Lance Archer was not on the show tonight. Lance Archer was scheduled to team with Brian Cage and Ricky Starks to take on Jon Moxley, Darby Allin, and Will Hobbs. This was going to be a big moment for Will Hobbs. He's a star on the rise. They just signed him to a contract. He's a very impressive guy. This was going to be a big moment for him. And unfortunately, it did not come to be, although we did get to see Will Hobbs at the very end. But that was supposed to be the main event tonight. Well, things don't always work out according to plan. And what you see on your screen there is a tweet. Tweet from the Murder Hawk Monster. See, a guy that calls himself the Murder Hawk Monster, should he be tweeting? I'm not so sure he really should be tweeting. But he did tweet late this afternoon, 4:30, in fact, in the afternoon. He said, "When I returned home from our last show, a family member was ill. When I got home, I found out later a friend who had taken my family member to the vet for our dachshund was COVID positive. While at home now, I've also gotten sick and tested positive. I feel okay. Expect to see me in 2 weeks." Actually, let me bring that up to the front. There we go. That poor guy in the X-Pac Rules sign was being hidden. Who doesn't want to see a good X-Pac Rules sign? That was the one guy. All these years, that was the one guy. But anyway, that was the tweet from Lance Archer. Sounds like he got it not from Daly's place, not at the AEW show, but from a family member at home. And look, all the best to Archer. Hopefully he has one of the more mild cases and can get back in time for the anniversary show, October 14th. I got a buddy of mine. I haven't seen him since last year with everything going on. He got it many months ago. Barely had any symptoms. Got better, went back to work. He's been absolutely miserable. Unfortunately, he's one of those lucky cases where he's still feeling the effects of it. So hopefully Lance Archer will be okay. Look, they could always delay the match if for whatever reason they had to put a delay on this match. They could always delay it to full gear in November. Did I say the dog breed wrong? I got a couple people. It's a dachshund. Okay. What did I say? I said dachshund. Okay. That tells you how big of a dog guy I am. That I could completely just butcher the breed of dog. I did it phonetically, right? When you read it, it says the dachshund. Apparently it's a dachshund. Okay. How the fuck am I supposed to know that if I don't have a dachshund? Why would they even pronounce it like that? That's just stupid. So I don't know what the plan is for Moxley yet. For full gear, if for whatever reason they had to push the match back, they always could. You know, they could push the match with Archer back to the pay-per-view in November, but hopefully in 2 weeks everything is okay. I will say this, though. It might be best to keep Jake Roberts away from the Murder Hawk Monster. I'm just saying. You don't want to take any chances with those elder statesmen. But in his place, AEW put Eddie Kingston, and I loved it because it made sense. This had nothing to do with rankings. It made sense, right? Eddie Kingston has made it very clear. I made it clear the night of the pay-per-view. Eddie Kingston was never eliminated from the Battle Royal at All Out. He did not go out over the top rope. So Eddie Kingston has as much of a claim to getting an AEW championship match as Lance Archer does. And it just so happened that Lance Archer got COVID and now he can't be on TV tonight. So what do they do as a make good? Hey, we got a guy. We got a guy who was never eliminated from the Battle Royal, and there it is, Eddie Kingston. Perfectly logical. He has earned himself a championship match. So it actually does make sense in that respect. So I like that. Unfortunately for Eddie Kingston, things didn't quite work out the way that he had hoped. I thought on the whole that this episode of Dynamite, I think it was an episode of Dynamite that was carried more by the promo work than it was anything I saw in the ring tonight. And I enjoyed the main event for what it was. I liked it. Again, I really liked the fact that Kingston got his shot. It was not a blow-away match. It was a very basic main event match. Jon Moxley was not going to lose the championship. So I enjoyed it for what it was. But there was really nothing that stood out on the show tonight at all in the ring, even the women's tag team match. Now, that only went about 7 or 8 minutes anyway. So this was definitely not as wonderful as last week's show. Last week's show was a tremendous show. This week was not one of the best shows all year, but it was carried more, I think, by the promos. It was carried more by some of the work on the microphone. So that's kind of how I would compare this show to last week. Now, before we even get into the show tonight, this was not the only episode of Dynamite that aired this week on TNT. Last night, there was an episode of Late Night Dynamite. This was taped in the event that Dynamite got preempted last week. They would have something to put on the air. So this was already in the can. It didn't really advance any storylines or anything. It was just a show for the sake of doing a show. It was an hour long. All that being said, this aired at 12:30 in the morning when the NBA game was over last night. So technically this morning, Late Night Dynamite went on the air. 12:30 in the morning. The show did 585,000 viewers at 12:30 in the morning. It's pretty good. I'm no TV executive here. But that's a number that TNT has to be happy with. And they charted 9th on all of cable for the night in the demo. 585,000 viewers for a throwaway hour-long episode of Dynamite at 12:30 in the morning. It's pretty good. So, good for AEW. Scorpio Sky beat Ben Carter. I wasn't really all that familiar with Mr. Carter. Very good match. This Ben Carter kid, I think, has a future. You're talking about the understatement of the year. He's got some talent. He's got some talent, this Ben Carter kid. That's all I was hearing about all day. Ben Carter. Ben Carter. Ben Carter had two very good matches yesterday. The other one I didn't see. The other one was on Dark. But, you know, I look at him and I see Tay Conti got a contract recently from AEW. Miro, that was a big pickup for AEW. Will Hobbs was signed to a contract. Ben Carter deserves a look. Now, I understand they can't just sign everybody. But this kid had two really good or even great, some people would say, matches in one day. Opened a lot of eyes. He's young. He's only going to get better. I think he deserves a look as far as a deal. Again, he had a killer match with Lee Johnson, I was told, on Dark. I have not seen it yet. I think Dark had 11 matches last night. I did not have time to go through those 11 matches. But Anna Jay, she beat Brandi Rhodes in a match that wasn't that bad. I don't know that my expectations were very high coming into it, given their level of experience in the ring. Not bad. Not bad. Anna won with the sleeper hold. She calls that the Queen Slayer. The Queen Slayer. That's what she calls it. And Sean Spears picked up the win over Matt Sydal. Sydal just beat Delirious in the opening round of the Ring of Honor Pure Title Tournament. So he is not signed with AEW. Perhaps at one point he'll end up being signed. But he's still wrestling for Ring of Honor. And by the way, he moves on now in the next round to fight, or wrestle, I should say, Jonathan Gresham. I don't know how many of you are even following this tournament. There is a tournament, a pure title tournament going on right now in Ring of Honor. And I actually got a chance to watch the revamped TV show. And I was impressed with the format. It's a very straightforward format. They have a long form video package, like personality piece on each combatant, two matches per show. There's nobody in the building, so it's very quiet, but I like the format. Anyway, there's your Late Night Dynamite update. Let's get into the show here tonight. We open with the in-ring debut of The Best Man. This was Miro's big debut in an AEW ring tonight, in the best shape of his life. I have to give him a lot of credit for that. Miro looks like he is in the best shape of his career. He's even in WWE, he lost weight. He slimmed down. He toned up. But again, I think he looks great. He was tagging with Kip Sabian against Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. That was the match here to open the show. This match turned into a sloppy shit show. The match was okay, and then it just hit a wall, and it was just downhill from there. The last few minutes of this match were sloppy. Sloppy is one word for it. It was not good. This match was no good. I mean, the match wasn't that great early, let alone the last few minutes of the match. But there was a spot where Joey Janela pulled the top rope down, and Miro went flying out of the ring, and he came up lame, as if maybe he had an ankle injury, maybe he rolled an ankle. He was selling it very well, because for a while there, I bought into it until he just stopped selling the injury, and I assume that means he's okay. But after that, it just seemed like things just fell apart. I mean, these guys are going, you know, they're going 5 miles a second, doing dives and all these different moves. They're outside the ring. So this was a scary moment. They're on the outside, right? Miro has basically recovered from his injury. He's over by the barricade. And Kip Sabian comes running in. He's like, come on. And Sabian comes running in. And the idea, I guess, is that he's going to propel his partner. He's going to propel Sabian over the barricade and onto Joey Janela, who is in the crowd area. Well, in comes Sabian. And Miro gets him up. But, you know, sometimes when you go to like back, imagine trying to back body drop somebody, but you don't quite get them over. So now they're awkwardly stuck in the air and you don't want to kind of drop them on their head. Well, that's kind of what happened to poor Kip Sabian. I think the idea was that on the other side, we really didn't get a good view of it camera-wise. Janela was supposed to either kick him or punch him in the face on the way down, and maybe he did. But it looked like Sabian took a header right on the concrete. You could hear Janela, are you okay? Are you okay? And I guess he said he was okay, and Janela went off to move on to the next spot. But that was scary. Match ended with the camel clutch by Miro to Sonny Kiss. Got the submission win. Jim Ross on commentary says, I think he calls it the accolade. And Excalibur very quickly batted that down and said, no. I believe he calls it game over. Excalibur with images of lawsuits in his head. No, it's called game over. So that's the new name of the move. I thought this was terrible. Look, I am all for Miro showing more of his personality. You know, when he first debuted on the show, I was trying to look at the positives of him being associated with Kip Sabian. I don't really look at it as elevating Sabian because Miro's going to do this for a while. He's going to move on. And Sabian's going to be exactly where he is. But Miro could be a much bigger star than the spot that he's in. But, you know, you start him out like this, and maybe he gets to be a little funny, and he can show off some of his personality that maybe he didn't have a chance to show off in WWE. All right, you know, I'm kind of looking at the positives of it. I'm watching this guy in the ring tonight, next to and working with Joey Janela and Kip Sabian and Sonny Kiss, and he just looks so out of place. Like, what is he doing in this match? That's when it really hit home to me. And then when the match started to fall apart, I said, boy, you know, he doesn't need the stink of this on him. This is just breaking down here. But it just, he didn't feel like he belonged in that spot. This would have been a better spot. You know, AEW has any number of talented young guys on that roster. You see him on Dark every week. You saw some last night. You put them in the ring with Miro. And you give Miro a few matches like that, let them sell for him, let him turn some people inside out, let him kill some people on TV and really build himself up. You know, he could be, ha-ha, I'm the best man, but when he's in the ring, yeah, man, he's right, you know, he's on point, and he's going to kill you. That would have been a better way, I think, to introduce him in the ring. This, in hindsight, turned out to just not be such a good idea. This was not a good match. And I don't know that he should be doing this for much longer. Let's get to the wedding. He'll be the best man at the wedding. And then I think he needs to just go off on his own. Because the more that he's associated with people, I think, at this level, he's not going to bring them up. They're just going to bring him down. And he could be a much bigger star than the position they had him in on the show tonight. So, not a fan of this. Eddie Kingston marches down to the ring. He didn't waste any time. Miro is still walking back through the tunnel. Here comes Eddie Kingston. He blows right by him, gets in the ring, cuts a promo about talking. Moxley used to be cut from the same cloth as him, and then Moxley sold his soul to the devil to go off and become a sports entertainer. He goes, where are you, sports entertainer? Where are you? Out of the crowd comes John Moxley, and they go nose to nose, and a bunch of security goofballs separate them. So that's how the show should have started. You should have started with a hot Eddie Kingston promo. Talking about how I've been waiting 18 years to get my shot. He could talk about the fact that he was selling his gear to pay his mortgage a few months ago. He had an opportunity. He took it. Tonight it all culminates in this. He's going to take the championship from Moxley. He and Moxley, no strangers to each other. They've wrestled multiple times on the indies going back probably, I don't know, 8, 9 years, 10 years probably. I would have started the show. I probably would have started the show with a microphone in Eddie Kingston's hand. That's never a bad way to start a show. Beginning, middle, and end. Kenny Omega was back on commentary again this week for Hangman Page against Evil Uno. I'm not really sure. You know, if Kenny Omega doesn't want to have anything to do with Hangman Page, why the fuck is he coming out to do commentary for his match? What, is Tony Khan telling him you have to do this or I'm going to fire you? I mean, what is this? He clearly wants nothing to do with this man. Excalibur made it clear last week that it was supposed to be a tag team match. It wasn't supposed to be one-on-one, Hangman against Scorpio Sky. It was going to be Hangman and Omega against SCU. And Omega said, I don't want to do that. Same thing this week. Excalibur said they were offered the tag team match. It was going to be Omega and Hangman taking on the Dark Order. Omega said no, not interested. So instead it was one-on-one Evil Uno against Hangman Page. But it's like, if that's the case, then why are you doing commentary for the match? You could turn down the match, but not the commentary gig. And the thing is, like, this was exactly the same thing that they did last week. It was no different. Kenny was just talking. I don't even know what he was talking about. He was just sort of out there, just not really having much of anything to say. So they ran the exact same angle they did last week. I'm a singles guy now. I don't want to be a tag team guy, but yet I'm out here doing commentary for my tag team partner's match. Okay. I don't know what sense that makes. I guess it keeps the story going, I suppose. Page made a comeback. Hit a standing shooting star for a two count. Evil Uno hit a senton atomico for a two count. And Page hit a buckshot lariat for the win. And Kenny Omega on commentary, he sounded surprised almost that, you know, he's impressed and almost surprised that Hangman was able to pull out the win. And that was it. So no real storyline advancement here at all. I'm not really sure what the point of this was other than just to get the two of them on the show. But I thought that was a bit disappointing. And yeah, I understand that there's going to be a crack coming soon. There's going to be a turn coming soon. But this was a good example of, I don't know that you necessarily need to feel compelled to have them on the show every single week. Like, you can rotate guys out. That angle last week, I think, could have just existed on its own. And then next week, you bring him back and you kind of move the story forward. Earlier, we were shown footage from earlier in the day. Tony Schiavone found Matt Jackson. He was going to go try to talk to the Young Bucks. He found Matt Jackson outside the Young Bucks dressing room. And Matt said, you know, we never should have put our hands on that announcer guy, whatever his name is. And yes, we never should have put our hands on that jockey-looking referee, what's his name, Rick Knox or whatever. He said he hopes that people can sympathize with them. You know, they've lost title opportunities. They've got fractured friendships that they've had to deal with recently. Schiavone started asking questions. And he started to upset Matt Jackson. And Matt Jackson said, do you have your phone on you? And he said, yeah. Go, give me your phone. And he took Tony Schiavone's phone and he smashed it against the wall. And the whole screen was cracked, and he handed it back to him. And then he felt bad, and he apologized, and he gave him a wad of cash and kind of threw the cash at him, threw it up in the air, and went back inside. He said, hey, here, get yourself an upgrade. So the Young Bucks, acting like a bunch of dicks, they're still acting kind of heelish. They're having a snit. They're having an attitude, like a bunch of teenagers. I guess that's the story. Again, I guess things are just kind of holding until they're ready to do that match with FTR, which should be at full gear. I would not drag this out for months and months and months on end. FTR has started a new gimmick on the show, which I'll talk about. Full gear has to be the first match in a series of matches between the Bucks and FTR. This is what it's all been building to, right? They've been talking about this. They've been teasing it. They've wanted this for years now. They're going to get their match. I hope it lives up to expectation. You know, you build something up like that for so long, it's hard. You know, it can be hard to live up to those expectations can sometimes kind of get away from you. So these guys better be ready to go out there when the time comes and just blow people away with this big Young Bucks FTR series that they've been hyping now for years. Again, Super Chats are open. I'll be reading them, like this one here from Lord Frieza, who joins us every week. Food Hive. Private Party are probably who is behind Matt's attack, he says. And Jacob Donnelly with the $5. Felt bad for Miro during that terrible opener. I felt like a match where he was clearly the superior wrestler and no one could keep up with him. I don't think it was a matter of them keeping up with him. I thought Janela was very sloppy. Sonny Kiss was fine. I thought Janela was sloppy. Sabian was a little sloppy and things just... Look, it could have just been an off night. You know, maybe these guys come back next week if they were to have the same match a second time and they have a much better match. I'm just telling you that tonight it was shit. You could be the biggest AEW defender in the world. I don't see how you can look at that match and think that it was any good as an opener. It wasn't. It's not an opinion. That's a fact. Let's see here. Abinav with the $2. What's your take on Cody's entrance and Tron? Well, you have to stick around and wait. That's called a tease, in case you didn't know. Stick around. You might find out. Right now, my boy was up next. The one that everybody loves to compare me to, Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy was up next. He was challenging for the TNT Championship against Mr. Brody Lee. This was Orange Cassidy's, I believe, first title opportunity in AEW. So this was a big spot for him to be in. Taking on the leader of the Dark Order, the Exalted One. Orange Cassidy placed his sunglasses on Anna Jay before the match began. Hey, shoot your shot. That's all I'm going to say. If I were him, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be giving her my sunglasses. I'd give her whatever she wants. She didn't seem too happy about that. Orange Cassidy early on hit the pocket dive, hands in the pockets, diving out of the ring onto the Dark Order, but they all caught him. Like a mosh pit. They caught Orange Cassidy, and that was for Brody Lee to do a dive of his own out of the ring. More fucking dives. You know what I think I'm going to do? I don't even know logistically how or if I could even do this, but I got to start like a dive counter on these shows and put it right in the corner of the screen. And as I go along in my review every week and I talk about these matches, every time I mention the word dive, you hear like a ding, and the number goes up. I don't think there's any way for me to really do that where it goes up in real time while I'm streaming, but that's my idea. That's what I'd like to do. Every time I say the word dive, or if I'm Excalibur, you know, Tope Suicida. It's more Josh Matthews than Excalibur. Brody Lee was having his way with Orange Cassidy. Referee Paul Turner was checking on Orange Cassidy. He looked like he was dead. He was out on his feet. Brody Lee would try to pick him up. Orange Cassidy would fall down. So, Paul Turner, he looks over at the doctor. He looks over at Dr. Samson, the ringside doctor. And Dr. Samson says, he looks like he's good to go. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Is that who we're relying on now? I sure hope he is. Turns out he was. Orange Cassidy was playing possum. He knocked Brody out of the ring. More dives. He fights back against the Dark Order, dweebs on the outside. So now Orange Cassidy is rocking and rolling here. He's a house of fire. He's taking everybody out. He hits not one, but two tilt-a-whirl DDTs to Brody Lee. And he gets Brody up for an air raid crash. Only gets a two count out of it. So Cassidy is setting up for the orange punch. He's setting up for the orange punch. John Silver jumps in, takes the bullet for Brody Lee. And Lee connects with the Discus Lariat for the win. Match was okay. It really was just there for what came after. This was all to set up the big angle. The big return. When the match was over. Oh yes, we got a big return. The lights went out. We haven't seen them use that gimmick in a while. We know they love that. Lights go out. Gets all dark in Daly's place. And then we see a Tron, it looked like blood. I don't know. Waves of blood. I thought maybe it was orange juice, the Orange Cassidy. So it looks like blood, I guess, because in his theme song, he talks about the bloodline or whatever. I don't know. It was just a weird video. It didn't really mean anything to me. There's this kind of epic, almost like a film score type music that starts playing, and that leads right into Cody's music. Yes. Indeed, the judge from The Go Big Show made his return to Dynamite tonight. I guess his reality show or competition show, whatever you would call it. I guess they're done filming. Weren't they keeping everybody in like a bubble in a hotel or something for the duration of the filming? I think they were. Well, Cody is out of the bubble, and he is back. The bleach blonde hair is not. The bleach blonde hair is gone. Cody's hair is now basically jet black. It used to be brown. Now it's just black. You know, I can remember seeing Cody for the first time with the blonde hair. And I remember thinking, this just doesn't look right. It just is very weird. I don't know. It's very hard to get used to. But now that I see him with the dark hair again, I think it's going to be weird to see him without the blonde hair. Now I'm going to have to get used to this all over again. So anyway, Cody has a suit on. He's taking his suit off. And he's going in. He's walking towards the ring. Brody Lee bails, but he takes out each member of the Dark Order one by one. And I don't remember who it was, if it was Silver, but puts one of them in a figure four leg lock. So Brody Lee retreats to the back, and he grabs a mic, and he cuts a promo. And he's very upset by this, and basically this was his challenge to Cody. He's challenging Cody to a dog collar match, which doesn't really... I mean, if you know anything about Cody, he's Dusty's son, he's very old school. Not really surprising they would go for an old school stipulation like that. It's very Starcade-esque, right, from like 83. Was it 83? The dog collar match with Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine? So he's issued the challenge to Cody. He wants an answer by next week. And if I were a betting man, I would say that will be taking place on the October 14th anniversary show. And Cody's probably getting his belt back. Because now that we know why Cody was gone, I think the only reason that Brody Lee has a belt is because Cody had to go film a TV show. So I expect Cody to get that TNT championship back very soon. One thing I want to mention, and also before, you know, before I... Just to give Brody Lee some props here. One thing I noticed as I watched and I listened to Brody Lee cut this promo, and this is more of a comparison. It's not meant to be a knock, although I guess it is. But, you know, as somebody who came from WWE, he was in that WWE system for so long. He broke out, right? Now he's in AEW. And one thing that's very apparent when you listen to really any of these promos, but it really was apparent with his, it didn't sound to me like he was reciting any kind of memorized material. It was like, listen, you're going to issue a challenge to Cody to a dog collar match. Here's a mic. Go out there and you're going to be angry. You're going to be upset and just go out and cut a promo. It actually sounded like someone who would probably be saying something like this in real life with real speech and real, like, you know, talk like a real human being. So that's one of the things I kind of liked about it. It just didn't sound forced or rehearsed to me. And this is the Dark Order. He's the leader of the Dark Order. The Dark Order is a faction where they've cut promos before that don't sound like any normal person would talk like that. So I appreciated that. That's why one of the reasons why I liked his promo so much. But I did want to mention this little preview of what's to come on Sunday. I'm going to be live tomorrow, and I'm going to be live again on Sunday after Clash of Champions. And you guys got a few more days to enter because this is going to be bonkers. This is the WrestleRumble.com. It's the NXT Gold Rush raffle, the Gold Rush giveaway. $1 is what it costs to enter on WrestleRumble.com. All those belts you see on your screen right now, one person, not eight, one person will win all eight of those championship belts. That's insane. That's going to be quite the FedEx delivery, let me tell you. You don't have to pay anything for the delivery other than the $1 to enter. So you got until Sunday night. I'm going to be hosting the live raffle during my stream on Sunday. I'll pick the random winner. It could be you. You could be getting those eight belts. So definitely go ahead and get in on that. I'm pretty sure that's the biggest giveaway they've ever done. I think he's nuts. I've told Wrestle Rumble this. I said, I think you're out of your mind. But I hope you get a lot of entries because that is insane. I just wouldn't want to be responsible for packing all eight of those belts. I think that's more insane than anything else. But anyway, WrestleRumble.com. That's the place to go. Take a few more super chats here. Acefinity says, rest in peace, animal. Indeed. Random human, who was, I think, crowing in the chat a little while ago. You guys got to understand here. I'm live on the air. So I'm trying to do 50 things at once. I'm not reading the super chats right when they come in. I will get to every single one of them. I promise you, I want all of them. I will read every single one of them, but you got to bear with me here. I'm doing a live show. I wish I could clone myself. We'll have like the dual screen going. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you could ever figure out how to do that, by the way, tell me. I would love to know. But random human, I did not forget about you. What UFC star expects except Connor, would you want for AEW or WWE? The answer is none. I don't really give a shit about bringing in any MMA stars. There's no one MMA star out there right now that I give a shit about enough that I would want, oh, I have to see this person. I hear Daniel Cormier is interested in going to WWE. Daniel Cormier seems like a very nice guy. And Daniel Cormier is a big wrestling fan. I think he was actually at WrestleMania that I went to in Santa Clara, 31. There's like video of him celebrating after Seth Rollins cashed in Money in the Bank. And he was like a kid in school, man. He was like jumping up and down. He was all excited. So I could appreciate that. But I have no interest in bringing in any one particular star. You know, Connor, I don't give two shits about Connor. I think Connor is just a shitbag. So fuck that guy. John Jones, another waste of space. Talent, one of the most talented fighters they've ever had, but just a complete waste. So yeah, that's not the question to be asking me. Jackalope Music with the $5. Thank you. Joel, love listening. Keep up the good work. And Hulkling 93, despite their talent, Ivelisse and Diamante's dynamite performances have left a lot to be desired. Well, it kind of did tonight, right? It wasn't really that spectacular of a match. But I think there's blame to go around there. But you're right. I mean, they have yet to have that one big kind of blow-away match on TV. And you wonder how many more chances are they going to have. We've gotten a lot of announcements about people being signed to contracts lately. We've had no less than 4 or 5 different contract announcements in the last month or so. Nothing about Diamante, nothing about Ivelisse. Which is one of the reasons I went off on Ivelisse on the podcast after what happened last week. And all the stories and the rumors and that gif of her just kind of sitting there and not caring. I'm like, does this woman not understand? This could be her last shot. You got to take advantage of that. And she's just throwing logs on the fire. I mean, you can't be doing that. Can't be doing that. Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy is out next with Private Party. And today, everybody, was Matt Hardy's birthday. Today was Matt Hardy's birthday. I was going to sing happy birthday to Matt Hardy, but I'll spare you. Happy birthday to Matt. And I hate to say this on his birthday, but your music sucks. Please change it. Happy birthday. He said that he was attacked last week. He got hit in the knee. Remember that? Doesn't know by who, though. I thought it was assumed that it was Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho showed up right after. He had a bat in his hand. You put two and two together. But he didn't see who did it. They were wearing a mask, and he knows he was hit either by a bat or a pipe or a piece of steel. How convenient that Chris Jericho showed up with a bat in his hand. So he says, as of right now, Jericho is his primary suspect. Jericho is the primary suspect as far as being the one who hit Matt Hardy. It's a whodunit. It's a whodunit here in AEW. He says Jericho wants to be known as the million viewer man and the demo god, but he'll always be known as an asshole. And that brings out Chris Jericho. He blamed Matt for Sammy Guevara not being here the last few weeks. But then, lo and behold, who should show up but Sammy Guevara. So Sammy is back. The inner circle is whole again. Jericho says, look, I didn't attack you. It wasn't me. But I'd be more than happy to do it right now. And Matt Hardy is ready to throw down. He gets all fired up. He goes, you want to do this right now? I'm not cleared, but you want to do this right now? And then he gets stopped by Mark Quinn. This was Private Party's time to shine here on Dynamite. We've seen a lot of Private Party matches. We've seen very few, if any, Private Party promos on AEW television. And that changed tonight. Mark Quinn took the microphone. He said, look, Matt, take all the time you need to heal up. Take all the time you need to get cleared. We got this. And he turned to Chris Jericho and he cut a promo on Jericho and talked about him ambushing his brother here, ambushing Isaiah Cassidy. He didn't get a lot of time to speak. Cassidy took the mic out of his hand. This really was not a Marquen promo. This was an Isaiah Cassidy promo. And Isaiah took the mic, and he says, I got this. He says, look, in his match with Jericho, nobody expected him to win, but he came close. Two different times, he says, he came close to beating Chris Jericho. He says, what if a young 23-year-old from Brooklyn, New York, I remember when I was a young 20-year-old from Brooklyn, New York, or 23. It's a long time ago, but we won't get into that. But what if a young 23-year-old kid from Brooklyn, New York were to actually, the next time, beat Chris Jericho? So he issued the challenge to Jericho. He said, next week, if he accepts, he goes, I'm going to make Le Champion my Le Champion bitch. And Private Party, to me, they just need a little more seasoning on the microphone. They're not great promos, but this was their first time to really speak and be put in that position on TNT. I'm not talking about Dark. I'm not talking about being the Elite or some YouTube promo. I'm talking about on television, front and center, live in the middle of the ring on live television with a microphone in their hand. I thought Isaiah Cassidy sounded more confident, a little more confident than Marquen did. I thought he did a pretty decent job. We just need to see them talking more. And I think as you give them more experience on the microphone, they'll improve. So Isaiah Cassidy, I'd say good job. Marquen didn't really have a whole lot to say. So I can't really say much more than that. Tony Schiavone was joined in the ring by Tully Blanchard and the AEW Tag Team Champions FTR. Up next for a promo. The big announcement here was that all tag team matches going forward with FTR on this show will be 20 minutes long. They will have a 20-minute time limit, and they're calling it the 20-minute brush with greatness. The 20-minute brush with greatness, and they get to pick their own opponents. They get to pick their opponents. Next week, they pick SCU, the first ever AEW Tag Team Champions. It is not a title match, but it is a 20-minute long brush with greatness. They have 20 minutes to beat FTR. Otherwise, it's a W in the win column for the champs. Those are the rules. Tully had a little bit of a brain fart, like he forgot what he was supposed to say. Very awkward moment. It's like the world kind of time sort of stood still there for a second, but then he remembered what he had to say, and he picked up with it. Best Friends came out coming off their fantastic parking lot fight last week with Santana and Ortiz. Trent wanted to throw down right now for 20 minutes. He goes, hey, you want 20 minutes? Let's go. Let's do it right now. And Harwood said, hey, let's get a referee out here. We'll do it right now. But you knew they weren't going to do it right now because FTR are the heels. And sure enough, they went to go start the match, and Wheeler got on the mic, and Wheeler said, look, we can't do this. Can't do this. You guys clearly are not ready. You're still recovering after last week. I want to give you guys a chance to heal up and get better. And then when you're ready, when you're all healed up and 100% and you're ready to go, we'll do our 20-minute fight. And the heels bailed. And after that fight with Santana and Ortiz, this is the time to capitalize on the best friend. Now, the thing is, again, they're building to the Bucks. So the best friends are not going to win anything. But absolutely, if you want to build to a big tag team championship match on the anniversary show, that's the one to do. 20 minutes, best friends against FTR tag team titles. You've got to get some mileage out of the best friends after last week. Everybody was talking about them. They got a huge win. They're not getting the title match in full gear. So instead of doing it on the pay-per-view, October 14th, that's the night. Same night you do Brody Lee and Cody and the dog collar match. It's all set up perfectly. And hopefully Moxley and Archer, they'll be able to do that as well. Level 20, thoughts on late night Dynamite. Well, you missed the beginning of the stream. You got to go back at the end and you can see my rundown. I guess I didn't really give my thoughts. It was just a very basic show. I enjoyed the opener, right? Yeah, the opener with Scorpio Sky and Ben Carter. Otherwise, it was just a very basic, straightforward hour. Keyword being hour. It did not overstay its welcome. I did not watch it in real time. I did not watch it at 12:30 in the morning. I watched it earlier. But I thought it was fine. It's not going to bring in any new viewers, but they did a better job than I thought they would of keeping their own viewers. To me, that just speaks to the loyal nature of the AEW fan base, that you had almost 600,000 people tuned in at 1 o'clock in the morning watching an hour of Dynamite that really didn't have any sort of storyline implication at all whatsoever. It was basically like an episode of Dark. I thought that was an impressive number that they pulled out. EJ, have you ever seen Butch Cassidy in the Sundance Kid? I love it. And Hangman Page kind of reminds me of Paul Newman and Robert Redford in that movie. You know, I have not. I'm well aware of it. I have not ever seen Butch Cassidy in the Sundance Kid. You people are going to like look at me like I'm in a bubble. I've never seen Butch Cassidy in the Sundance Kid. And to this day, I've seen certain scenes. I've seen the horse's head and all that. I've never seen The Godfather. I've never seen The Godfather Part 2. I've never seen The Godfather Part 3. Back then, it was like, the movie's too long. I'm not going to watch it. Not interested. I just never actually sat down and watched the full movie from start to finish. I actually have a list of movies that I have, like a watch list, that I've started going through them. And I'm doing pretty well so far. I'm actually through three movies this week that I had never seen. And I'm ashamed to say that as a John Carpenter fan, but I had never seen In the Mouth of Madness. I had never seen The Fog. And the third one was I never saw New Jack City. And I'm happy to say that in the last week I've seen all three. And I enjoyed all three. I really like The Fog. I like The Fog more than In the Mouth of Madness. But anyway, yes, I have a lot of movies on my list that I have to watch. I know Godfather Part 2 is considered, I think, better than the first one, right? Like the greatest sequel to any movie ever. That's what I've heard. I say it's Terminator 2, but I guess I haven't seen it, so I can't say for sure. Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa against Ivelisse and Diamante. A lot of controversy coming out of that match last week with Thunder Rosa and Ivelisse for the NWA Women's Championship. Everybody talking about the women shooting on each other. I looked at it more working stiff. Working stiff and shooting are not necessarily one and the same. That does not mean they are the same thing. I think sometimes people tend to confuse that. But there was a lot of controversy. There was that one horrendous spot where Thunder Rosa gave Ivelisse a snapmare out of the corner. And Ivelisse is just, she's just sitting on the mat like, all right, can we get on with this? Like, she looked like she would rather be anywhere else in the world. And that, to me, is just unprofessional. You can't be doing that. Unless she thought they were in a commercial break. And even then, it looked terrible. But there were some stiff shots in there. And look, I don't have any issue with working stiff. You know? I've seen a lot of working stiffs in the wrestling ring over the years. There's a difference between being a working stiff and actually working stiff in the ring. And I don't have any issue with that. Hey, the more real it looks, the better. We don't get enough of that these days. But everybody was probably watching this match. What's going to happen when these two are back in the ring together? Well, it was more of the same. I mean, there was nothing that really jumped out at me. There was no shooting going on, but there were definitely some stiff shots thrown in there. I thought by all the women, not just those two. I get the sense that the two of them really don't like each other. But I did not see anything this week that would lead me to believe that, you know, they were shooting. They were going into business for themselves. People want drama. They want controversy. And to me, there really was none here. It was a 7-minute match. I thought the coolest part was Rosa coming out with the Road Warrior Animal face paint on. That was pretty cool. She did that in tribute to Road Warrior Animal. I thought that was a very nice gesture on her part. There was one awkward moment early in the match. There was a miscommunication between Diamante and Ivelisse, where Ivelisse was the legal woman she had tagged in. There was some flurry of offense. Diamante went for the cover. And if you watch Ivelisse, she goes to leave the ring and she's like, wait a minute, I'm the legal person. And she turns around and then the referee says to Diamante, yeah, you got to get out of here. So that was a little weird. Diamante grabs Shida. She was calling for the finish. So she hops up on the back of Shida as if she was getting into position for a Code Red, right, or a Destroyer. And Rosa comes into the ring and grabs Diamante and puts her on her shoulders and hits a Death Valley Driver. And after that, Shida She hit the Falcon Arrow. She had the match won. In comes Ivelisse to break up the pin. Rosa grabs Ivelisse. They fight out to the floor. Sheeta hit the running knee and gets the win. This really was not, it wasn't anything special. It really wasn't anything special, but clearly they're building to something with Sheeta and Rosa. I have to think for the NWA Women's title. We've already seen the AEW Women's Championship at stake. Sheeta won. Could they do an NWA Women's title match on another show? I mean, NWA is not really running any shows. There's NWA titles being defended in this new weekly pay-per-view series, but it's kind of a mix of different independent matches. It's called Primetime Live. I don't see the benefit of doing the match there. There's no benefit for AEW in doing the match there. The benefit would be to get as many eyeballs as possible on this match. The only way you're going to do that is to put it on TNT. And so I come back again to the anniversary show. You do an NWA Women's Championship match with Thunder Rosa, probably getting her win back and defending her title against Hikaru Shida. They had a very good match at All Out. Run that match back on the anniversary show. You got to get every title on that show. That's got to be a big night. It's your one-year anniversary. And there's no other women's challenger right now for the AEW title being built up. They're still teasing something with Sheeta and Rosa. That's the time to do it. And as far as Ivelisse and Diamante, we're still waiting for that one really great match. But every week, you got to pay attention to that. Every week that goes by that we don't get the announcement that Diamante is All Elite or Ivelisse is All Elite, it's very suspect. They're signing a lot of people. These two women won their women's tag team tournament. They walk around with those little medals they won, right, for the Deadly Draw tournament, and they have not been signed. Every week that goes by that we don't get the announcement of them being signed makes me wonder about their future. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the $20. That's awesome. Thank you, sir. Dried chicken without flavor with the 10, which is almost as awesome. It's half as awesome. Half as awesome as 20, but still pretty cool. Thanks for the shout out on your G1 Climax review. I'll take the ribbing from last week after watching. Well, I do it with love. You know that. I do it with love. After watching night one and two of the G1 and cutting down my favorites and dark horses, I will reveal my pick tonight. Wow. Drama here on the stream. This guy knows how to build a cliffhanger. Kelly Sullivan with the 5. I felt like they should have introduced Miro in the spot that they gave to Will Hobbs. Well, that depends. I mean, do they want Miro to be cheered or do they want Miro to be a heel, which is kind of what he is. If he's aligned with Kip Sabian and Penelope, I mean, people would, like, if they had a packed building, people would be cheering for Miro no matter what. But really, in that position, he's more of a heel than he is a babyface. Even tonight, they were wrestling Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. They're babyfaces. So, yeah, if they wanted to introduce Miro as a babyface, absolutely, that would have been a good spot for it. I like Will Hobbs being in that spot because, you know what? They're trying to get a new guy over. Miro doesn't need to be in that spot. You could have introduced him any number of ways without him taking a spot away from somebody they're trying to build up. So I like that. I like that they put Will Hobbs in that spot, even though they ended up not doing the match tonight. But give him some shine. If they see some star potential in him, yeah, you get all these comments from people, all they do is bring in ex-WWE guys. Well, Will Hobbs is not an ex-WWE guy. Will Hobbs could end up being an AEW guy. And if you see a lot of potential in him, then you should put him in a big spot and see if he sinks or swims. It's a good spot for him to be in. Magician Sapphire, it's good to have the lights go out on a wrestling show and see a wrestler that you actually love make an appearance. And Ryan Spies, John Silver is better than your favorite wrestler. John Silver is quite good. John Silver is very good. We had a segment with Chris Jericho and MJF. Jericho accepted the challenge of Isaiah Cassidy for a match next week. MJF interrupted his promo in the back. Last time we saw these two together, if you remember, was that awesome segment where the Escalades pulled up. They both came out. They were doing the Mutual Admiration Society thing. They each walked off, and we had a camera shot of each guy. And behind their backs, they're calling each other a loser. They're insulting each other. So that came up here in the promo. MJF wanted to know, Why'd you call me a loser? Chris Jericho wanted to know, why'd you call me a loser? So then, anyway, they ended up claiming that, no, we were talking about somebody else. And they ended up kissing each other's asses again by the time this was over. And all was right, all was well between Chris Jericho and MJF at the end here. We need to see more Jericho and MJF on screen together. That's what we need to see. You know, I still don't think MJF needs a faction. But remember what he said last week. He's a lone wolf looking for a wolf pack. He's teasing that he's going to join a faction. Well, if he's buddying up to Chris Jericho, I don't really see a spot for him and Wardlow. I mean, the inner circle is kind of full. You know, Sammy Guevara kind of has the spot that maybe MJF would get, but part of me wishes they were together in the same group, even though they don't have to be. In fact, they probably shouldn't be. I'm just saying, selfishly, I think it would be very entertaining to get them in the same group together. Got to find a way to get them on screen. Maybe they could do like a podcast together. And then we have the main event. Jon Moxley defending the AEW World Championship against Eddie Kingston. 18-year veteran Eddie Kingston stepping in at the last minute. With Lance Archer unable to wrestle. No six-man tag tonight as was advertised, but we got a title match instead. We were maybe a minute into the match, and we had ourselves a slap fest and a chop fest, and these guys were just brawling the way that you would expect these two to brawl. Brawling the way that they used to brawl on the indies in ICW and I think CZW and some of these promotions on the independent scene. Kingston threw Moxley into the timekeeper's area before they went to picture-in-picture. Yeah, I got to mention this. Jim Ross loves, right before they go to the picture-in-picture, he just loves, oh, we're going to go to picture-in-picture in 3, 2, 1. Or we're going to go to picture-in-picture. You're going to love it. I probably, like, okay. I don't love it. The picture-in-picture sucks. And I hate that they do it. I would almost rather they just go to commercial. I hate the picture-in-picture. It feels like they take so many of them, too, on the show. And I could deal with a commercial, but there's something about the picture-in-picture and how they throw it to, just irritates the shit out of me. So they interrupted this match here in the main event with another picture-in-picture. One of the 8 of them, it felt like, that they did on the show. We got a dive from Moxley. We got a suplex to Kingston out on the floor. Back inside, pile driver by Jon Moxley connects. Eddie Kingston just barely gets his foot on the bottom rope to break the count. Yes, Darlene says Jim Ross gets way too excited for picture-in-picture. Well, he used to get more excited for Skittles. Remember the Skittles plugs on Raw? That was at least entertaining. But these picture-in-picture things, it's like, I don't know. It's just these lame lead-ins into the picture-in-picture. It's just, it is very annoying. We got 2 backdrop drivers by Eddie Kingston. He got a near fall out of that. Jon Moxley blocked a spinning back fist. Kingston threw. And he put Kingston in a sleeper hold, transitioned it into the same bulldog choke that he used to beat Brody Lee back at Double or Nothing. And he put out Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston did not give up. Eddie Kingston did not tap out. He passed out. The referee called it. And Jon Moxley retains, to the surprise of no one, Jon Moxley retains the AEW championship. The Lucha Bros immediately came out. They gave super kicks to Jon Moxley. Stereo super kicks to Jon Moxley, and that brought out big Will Hobbs. Now, Will Hobbs got screwed, unfortunately, out of a big spot in that six-man tag tonight, but they sent him out there. He was coming out to make the save for the world champion. Now comes Will Hobbs. One thing I love about Will Hobbs that I've seen so far, Arn Anderson, who works for the company, should be very proud. Will Hobbs has maybe the best spine buster right now in all of wrestling. And FTR, they have a pretty good one, too. I think it's Harwood. Is it Harwood? I think it's Harwood. Will Hobbs, his spine buster is magnificent. And he's a big guy, too, so he can really put all that force behind it. So he hit a massive spine buster to Phoenix, but he ended up beating double super kicks as well. Here comes Darby Allin, skateboard and all, and he takes out Pentagon. He takes out Eddie Kingston. Ricky Starks comes in. Ricky Starks sneaks up behind Darby Allin, turns him inside out with a spear. I mean, he cut this dude in half. And the show went off the air with the heels standing tall. Taz came out, and we had Ricky Starks out there. We had Eddie Kingston and his boys, Pentagon. They got all the baby faces on the ground, dead. Their dead bodies on the ground. And that is how Dynamite went off the air tonight. Next Wednesday, it is Chris Jericho taking on Isaiah Cassidy. FTR takes on SCU in the 20-minute challenge. We're going to get the Ricky Starks-Darby Allin singles match. I've been waiting for that. We're going to get it next week. They mentioned October 7th on Dynamite. They're going to be celebrating 30 years of Chris Jericho's in-ring career. And then, of course, Moxley and Archer on the anniversary show October 14th for the, hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully for the AEW Championship. And what I would have to assume will be the dog collar match on that show, probably between Cody and Brody Lee, but we don't know. Cody has 1 week. We'll hear from Cody next week as far as whether or not. I wonder what will happen. Maybe he'll say no. I'm too scared. I'm too afraid. What the fuck do you think he's going to say? He's got 1 week to respond. As if there's any doubt about what he is going to say. Brian Mahoney, Kip Sabian reminds me of Shawn Michaels when he was managed by Sensational Sherry. I don't know about that. With far less talent, but I see why they have faith in him and why they think Miro can help him. It was one swing and a miss. Brian Barsoon put this towards the dive counter. I thought that it was a great show. Darby had a great sell on the Stark Spear. By God, he broke him in half. Yeah, he sold the shit out of that spear. So I'm really looking forward to that match. You know, the kind of the way that Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara had what I thought was the second best match on the Revolution card back in February. Feels like a lifetime ago now, that pay-per-view. But those two guys killed it on that show. And I think we could get a similar kind of match next week between Ricky and Darby. So I am very much looking forward to that. Let us take a look here at what you guys thought of the show tonight. The AEW show, as Nakamura dances on my Twitter poll. Get the fuck off my screen, Shinsuke. Hey, get out of here. Look at this guy. Thank you. 77% thumbs up and 23% thumbs down with just under 1,000 votes in. It's a little less than usual. A little less than you. We usually have more votes by this point in on the poll. And let's take a look at the NXT poll. And the NXT poll... Oh, wait, whoops. That's not the NXT poll. That's not the NXT poll. That's the Monday Night Raw poll, everybody. Look at that Monday Night Raw. Look at that and laugh. I haven't done a Raw poll, by the way, in probably 2 months. I decided to do one on Monday night when that show is over because why the fuck would I not? Look at that. 15% thumbs up, 84% thumbs down. Look how many votes we got in that poll. You don't think people were upset about what they saw Monday night? 4,100 votes. Look and laugh, everybody. Point and laugh. Talk about a shit. I was talking about the opening match tonight. You talk about a shit show. Let me get the NXT poll up here. Here we go. Here's the NXT poll. We've got 62% thumbs up, 37% thumbs down. It just feels like that's kind of in range with what NXT would typically do. That's kind of what I would have expected. I will be watching NXT tomorrow and talking about it this weekend. So any of you guys want to vote, you guys know the place to go. Place to go to vote is at Solomonster on Twitter. And you guys can cast your vote and let me know what you thought of the shows tonight. Let me just get to a few more super chats here. Again, I read everything you guys send me, and I appreciate you guys when you do support the show in that way. It means a lot. Really, on YouTube, it's the most direct way to support is through the super chats, and you get to ask your questions and send in your messages. Prince Walker, have not watched yet. I love answering questions. Have not watched yet, but got to ask what I ask every week. Did you watch the Dark Order segment on BTE this week? They had Sue. Yeah, well, the one with Sue I saw. I did see that. The one where Sue walks in and Brody flips out and says he didn't like your fucking cooking or what, that I saw. That was great. That was great. Dry chicken without flavor. Cody with black hair to me, it looks very symbolic. In what way? You told me it looks symbolic, but symbolic in what way? You got to specify here. I'm a dummy. You got to break things down for me. Amari Johnson, after seeing superior two-hour shows on Wednesday and Friday, I wonder if the real reason why WWE won the war was because Nitro was 3 hours and Raw was only two. That is a very good point. A lot of things killed Nitro. 3 hours was not what really killed Nitro. Maybe it made Nitro a little sick. But that's not exactly what killed WCW. Dry chicken without flavor. My G1 Climax 30 final prediction. Oh, here we go. This is what we were building to. His prediction. Jay White against Sonata. Jay White wins the whole thing. Kenta and King switch briefcase brothers. Kind of a bold prediction. I like it. I wouldn't go with that as my pick, but I like that you actually finally made a real prediction. You actually narrowed it down. I'm proud of you. Nicholas Terrell, what happened to the Nyla Rose with Vicky Guerrero push for the women's title? We'll see that. I think they're the victim of just not having enough TV time. And if they're not in contention to be the next match for Sheeta, this Thunder Rosa thing kind of came out of nowhere. And I think if it wasn't for Thunder Rosa being brought in, and it was Kenny Omega who made that recommendation, then we probably would be getting Sheeta and Nyla right now, would be my guess. But you only have so many segments on a TV show. They need that second TV show, and then I think some of these people will start to see more of them. Carlos Lugo, I love JR as much as the next guy, but with him calling the wrong show, wrestler, and move names, when do you think he should hang the gloves up? That's a Tony Khan call. You know, JR has good nights. JR has not so good nights. He's been doing this a long time. He's still better than most. There are still announcers right now, younger guys doing it in wrestling. I would much rather hear JR than some of them. I won't say who they are, or I'll hurt their feelings. But JR has had, he's had some off nights. And I've talked about it. You know, I've talked about things that he has said that just make me scratch my head. There are nights where I listen to him and he sounds completely disinterested in being there. But then the next week, it'll be like he's got an extra pep in his step and he's got a certain energy that he didn't have the week before. I don't know. Maybe it's just, again, he's getting older. But then again, he also shits on some of the product. He shits on some of the same things I do now with the dives and everything. But there are times where he is actively shitting on the product while they are on the air. That I don't like. That is not something that I would approve of if you were doing commentary for my show. I find that to be a little strange. Sometimes that comes out a little too much, a little too honestly on commentary. Brian Mahoney, you and I have very different views and opinions, and I disagree with you a lot, but still a big fan of yours. Well, that's how it should be. We all have disagreements, we all have different opinions, but at the end of the day, we're all still wrestling fans, right? Dried chicken, should the Dark Order push the envelope by invading Cody's home, vandalizing it, and stealing the dogs, including Pharaoh? So is it going to be like when the Islanders stole Matilda from the British Bulldogs and they went running in the hallway, Bobby Heenan, and they just grabbed the dog and they just ran out of the building? Phone number is on your screen, 989-282-SOLO. That is the phone number to call in. Hey, Thomas, or Tomaz with the super chat. I really do think Eddie Kingston gets it. He sells wrestling like no other. The face he made when he realized he got choked out and lost out of desperation was great. It's almost as if Eddie Kingston has been doing this for 18 years. It's amazing. Eddie Kingston's been around the block a while. He knows what he's doing. He's a veteran. And he, you know, look, there's obviously he's limited in what he can do in the ring. You're not going to get a flashy match out of an Eddie Kingston match. But he's a brawler. He can tell stories with his facial expressions. He'll trash talk guys in the middle of the match. And I just thought it was really cool to see him get that moment tonight on the show. Let's go to 484.
Hey, Jason, what's going on, man? Just kind of funny what the previous caller said about Jim Ross. because I remember when Ross, if you can watch WrestleMania 9, and you'll hear Bobby Heenan doing the same exact thing to Jim Ross that Ross was doing to Excalibur.
But.
Especially like when Ross would bring up.
But. There's one but here. Bobby was a heel. So it was sort of expected, right? That he would, I could easily see Bobby Heenan like listening to, and he would do the same thing in WCW when Mike Tenay during the cruiserweight matches would come out with all these facts about the cruiserweights, and sometimes Bobby would kind of make fun of him for it. I just took that to be as part of his heel shtick. What's Jim Ross's excuse?
Maybe just being a dick. I don't really know.
It could be. Yeah, it could be just being a crabby dick. You're right. It could be very... We don't have to overcomplicate this. Maybe that's just what it was.
Dynamite was like... it was pretty much the same for me. It was just kind of whatever for me tonight. Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss have no business being on Dynamite. I kind of wish they'd stop being on there. Janela has had, if I can think back, I think one good match that I've seen him in that did not involve thumbtacks and shit like that. And that was that one match he had in Pittsburgh with Kenny Omega. That's been pretty much it. Outside of that, you know, he hasn't really done anything. And yes, I agree with you as well. I do not see what the big deal was about Janela. I just kind of wish Janela would just go away. But, you know,
I thought there was a good match. Yeah, I thought there was one good match he also had with John Moxley. But the Omega match and if I'm remembering the Moxley match, those are really the only times that I saw a Janela match in AEW and thought, hey, that was really good. I've just never seen the hype, I guess.
Well, the Moxley match, I think, wasn't that at Fyter Fest? And that was the whole Lights Out thing, too, where they wrestled a second time. I can't remember.
No, I mean, the Lights Out thing, I know the Lights Out with Omega at Full Gear. I don't know if he had a Lights Out match or a no DQ match. Well, I mean, I guess there's no DQs. We've yet to have a DQ end a match in AEW. We had one DQ.
Right.
We had one in the entire existence of AEW, we've had one disqualification, and that was to end one fall in an Iron Man match. So I call it no DQ, but they basically have no DQs in this company already.
And I guess one last thing, and I heard you saying about having FTR and the Bucks possibly having series of matches. I think AEW, are they really known for just having one match and then they kind of seem to branch off to something else? You know, like MJF and Moxley had their one match and then they kind of branched off to something else. Do you think they're going to break that formula and have series of matches together with the Bucks and FTR? Or do you think they will not do the match at Full Gear, but maybe wait till Revolution when they can maybe possibly travel around to other arenas and be able to fill more people in by then possibly? Or do you think they're just going to go at Full Gear and, you know, do what you think that they might do and just have series of matches? Because they don't, AEW has not done the series of matches thing like that.
Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know where they rank. What do they rank right now in the tag team rankings? I'm not sure if they're number one, two, number three. I don't know where they rank. If they follow the rankings, it's possible that they have to work their way up first. So you may be right. If they want to drag this out, then they could try to drag it out until February, I guess, and do it there. And play out this story with the Bucks acting heelish. They're not heel. The Bucks are not going heel. They're teasing it, but in the end, everything's going to be fine, I'm sure. They're not going heel. FTR is already heels, right? So they're not going to do heel versus heel. So maybe they just let that story play out a little bit more. And then in the meantime, the one thing that they don't have to worry about, they have a ton of tag teams in AEW. So if they wanted to extend this out a little bit longer, I'm sure you could find two teams, three teams even, that you could kind of kill time with. So you may be right. You may be right. And when they do it, maybe it's just one and done because they do have a ranking system. And when you lose, in theory, you should go back, you know, a few spots in the rankings. But I just feel like if they were going to break that rule and do it with anybody, it would be with them because they've teased this out for so long. Like, I could see them having a best of whatever series. Like, if they were going to do it, it's going to be those two teams, because this is the match they've both been waiting for years. I don't think it's going to be enough for them to just work one time together and then move on. They're going to probably want to work 2-3 times. So that's why I thought maybe the first, maybe the first time is November, and maybe they can drag that out for, you know, a couple of months. But you may be right. You know, they're pretty good about not really dragging things out the way that WWE does.
I mean, now that I think about it, I guess they kind of are breaking that rule a little bit with Brody Lee and Cody, because they're kind of coming, even though that doesn't seem like it's going to be a title match, I think it's just going to be a straight out grudge match from what it looks like. I could be wrong on that one as well. I'm not too sure. But here's another question for you. Do you think that they're pushing back the whole AEW version of the Four Horsemen thing? Because Cody hasn't done the four finger thing at all for a while, even before the Brody Lee squash. So I don't know if they might have changed their mind off of that, or maybe backing off that a little bit.
No, I think Cody being gone maybe just delayed things a little bit. Cody was doing it before the Brody Lee thing. It was within a few weeks, I think, was the last time I saw him do that. I just think they put it off for a while. I mean, they've been teasing it out for so long, I don't think they would have just dropped the whole thing. So I think it's just kind of on pause, and wherever it's going to go now that he's back, and then we'll see how things play out with Hangman and Omega, because I would think one of them perhaps would even, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that Omega or Hangman even need to have anything to do with a group like that, frankly. So we'll see. I mean, Cody's back now. If they're gonna get back to it, we're gonna know within a few weeks. Maybe next week, right? He's got to cut a promo. He's got to accept the challenge. If he's out there with Arn, let's keep an eye on his hands, and we'll see if he scratches his face with four fingers. I guess that'll give you your answer.
Maybe Cody will announce he's going back to the dashing gimmick with the black hair. What do you think?
He's going back to he's going to reunite the Cosmic Wasteland. They're going to bring in the Ascension, and it's going to be Stardust and the Ascension and the Cosmic Way. You remember that faction? I would take the Cosmic Wasteland over Retribution, by the way, but go ahead.
Or maybe he'll be the grotesque Cody Rhodes and put that ugly face mask back on again.
Yeah. Well, hey, if there was ever a time for him to wear a mask, now would be it.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Before I go, just one more thing. I have to ask this question to you, because I don't know when I'll do it again. If you were in Retribution, what would your name be? I have to ask it.
Well, I would not be in Retribution. That's number one. But if I was in Retribution, what would my name be? Well, it depends on me. Do I have to come up with an equally shitty name? Or can I? I think Solomonster would work quite well.
Well, they might just cut Solomonster in half. It could be either Solo or Monster.
No, they'd probably call me fucking Pond Scum or something would be my name, or some other ridiculous word. Unbelievable. Don't even get me going on that.
And on that note, man, I got to let you go. I don't think I can top that one. Have a good one.
All right, you too. I knew we were going to devolve. We're going to devolve into that. Just had to devolve into Retribution. Dry chicken without flavor. Cody with the symbolic black hair could possibly indicate the tease of a heel turn. Okay. So that it's kind of like the people who talk about the facial hair, beard, right? Means he's going heel. I don't know that I buy into that. I wouldn't read too deep into the hair color. Wasn't there some rumor he was going to be on Stephen Amell's show? He was going to be filming a role. Maybe he had to dye his hair for the role on the show. I wouldn't read too much into that just yet. Off Leather Wings, comparing indie Joey Janela to AEW Joey Janela is like a superstar going from NXT to the main roster. Well, it is possible. I have not been exposed to enough of his independent work to make a fair judgment of Mr. Janela. But I will tell you what I've seen of him in AEW, aside from maybe one or two matches in the last year, is nothing that I'm overly impressed by. Let's do 845. What's your question?
Hey, Soul Monster, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. So I'm going to take you back a little nostalgia. When do you think we're going to see the Pentagon of Lucha Underground like unleashed on AEW. That's what I'm waiting for. I just want to see Pentagon go out there, just break arms, go after Moxley, just that badass, you know, dominant person we saw in Lucha Underground.
I don't know that we are. It doesn't look good. I mean, they've got a lot of other people they're focused on right now, and they've got him locked into that tag team role. I think if it's going to happen, it's going to be a while, I think, before we see it. And I don't see them going back to the same, like, arm breaker, because then it would just be a copy of what he did in this other promotion. So him getting a singles run, I'm all in favor of, but I don't see it happening. I don't see an opening for him, really, anytime soon. They seem to have their people that they're kind of building in the top of the card. But I do miss that Pentagon. Pentagon Dark. Remember Pentagon Dark? When he went even more evil.
It's like nostalgia, man.
It's great. I really, there are times when I think about Lucha Underground, I'm like, man, I missed that show. It was consistently great.
I was going to, like, mess with you.
Yeah.
I was going to mess with you and say the one thing I wish I can change AEW is the fact that they don't have general managers. But I was like, no, let me not mess with him.
No.
The best manager I've ever seen. I don't want to, like, you know, nostalgia again. Dario Cueto, I mean, was like the best general manager I've ever seen in a wrestling show. That's just hands down. He was the best.
There wasn't even a general manager. He was, what was the word they used for him? Oh my God. There was a word. There was a word that they used for, not benefactor. Oh, maybe somebody in the chat.
He was like the owner.
He was the owner, but
he was the owner, but
he was, but there was a certain word they used to describe him. And I just can't remember what it was. It was like a long word.
He was just great, though.
He was. No, he was. He's one of the characters I miss the most. You know, I've seen him pop up on other TV shows because he's a character actor. So it's always cool to see. I saw him on Curb Your Enthusiasm last season. I'm like, hey, it's Dario Cueto. But, like, he was the perfect authority figure on a wrestling show. And now that we don't have that anymore, I mean, you're right. I still don't think we need one in AEW. But if they were going to ever bring him in for something, I would make an exception. Because he was just fantastic. I would make an exception for him.
Now, I'm going to pick your brain. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But there's one guy. If there was two guys I would bring to AEW, I think one would be Killshot. I don't know what he goes by now.
Well, he's in NXT.
Because I was watching.
Yeah, he's in
NXT. Oh, man.
Yeah, they got him. They snatched him up. They got him locked into a deal in NXT.
And Drago, because Drago I wasn't a big fan of him, but, you know, just the costume, the gimmick.
The costume,
you know,
was freaky.
I think bringing
with the tongue and everything, that was freaky.
If they could bring some of that, like, luchador, like, mask, like, you know, kind of culturedness to the show, it would kind of be like comparing it to WCW when they had the cruiserweights. I think they need something more like that, because I feel like they got a lot of brawlers, but, you know, which is fun. You know, but it's like a lot of tag teams, a lot of brawlers, but I feel like it will kind of change things up a little bit, just bringing guys. Cause they have Luchasaurus. He wears a mask. But just something like that, like have something like Drago come, a couple more guys. You know, I don't know. I can't, you know, yeah, Phoenix, but again, they're not using him, which breaks my heart because, you know, him and Mil Muertes has had like the best matches back in Lucha Underground.
Yeah,
that's another guy. I don't know who we know.
I think the answer was proprietor. I think that's what he called himself. He was the proprietor of Lucha Underground, which is just a fancy way of basically saying owner. So it was going to drive me nuts. I had to look it up. But anyway, yeah, we could go on all night about Lucha Underground. I don't know if people care, but yeah, I do miss that show. I do miss Dario. And look, I would be all in favor if they wanted to try to bring in Mil Muertes. I doubt they would have ownership of the character names, but Mil Muertes has been campaigning on social media for a while. Like when Cody was doing the TNT Open Challenge, he was campaigning actively for AEW to bring him in. So there are certain characters like Mil Muertes and Katrina and people like that who I would love to see them get a shot in AEW.
No, I mean, if you brought Katrina back, it'll be a blessing.
Yeah.
Nothing is better than that. But, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You know, definitely want to thank you. I got to tell you one thing, though. I had to drive to Massachusetts this weekend, and your podcast saved my life. That thing kills you know, it's a 3-hour trip, and if your show like kills a good 2 hours of it, and it's like, thank God.
Well, I try to keep, you know, I don't want to keep it too long, but I want to keep it just long enough where it could kill time for people when they're due. I got people telling me they do laundry. It like takes up the whole laundry time. It just passes by like that. I get people telling me they're truck drivers and they listen to it on the road. So I love hearing stuff like that.
No, you are a treasure, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you hear it a lot, but you know.
Well, I haven't heard that word. I like hearing that word. Like, treasure. Wow. I haven't.
You're appreciated, man.
That's great. My grandmother. I think my grandmother called me that like 30 years ago. That's awesome. I'm a treasure.
I've been listening to you since, I think the first podcast I ever listened to you was when CM Punk left. That was the first time I heard your show.
A while ago.
And since then, it's been like, you know, tradition every Sunday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, man. I'll let you go. Have a good night, though, man.
All right, you too. Yeah, CM Punk walked out on WWE. That was 2014. So he's stuck with me that whole time. So that's a while. That is a long time, and this might be the last Super Chat of the night, possibly. Quintus Brown, who had the promo of the night? Brody Lee or Eddie Kingston? I can never vote against Eddie Kingston. Come on now. Brody Lee, he had a good promo, but anytime Eddie Kingston has a microphone in his hand, I can't vote against Eddie Kingston. Gotta go with Eddie K on that one. All right, we're up over 1,000 votes now in the AEW poll, so that's good. Get your votes in. NXT, there it is. Got to get those votes up for NXT, or else the NXT fans are going to be mad. They're going to be mad at all the AEW fans. They're going to blame all the AEW fans for that 38% thumbs down. That seems to be what they do every week. It's just, it can't possibly be because they thought it wasn't a great show. It's all the AEW fans. Thank you for all your support. I'm going to be back with you live tomorrow. So in less than 24 hours, probably a little more than 12 hours, around 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll put the page up a couple of hours before. We'll do some live streaming, right? You'll have some lunch. You'll have your salad or you'll have your sandwich. You'll have your bagel. Catch a quickie with your girlfriend. I don't care what you do. If you do, by the way, put your AirPods in. She won't mind. And you can listen to a live Solomonster stream talking Clash of Champions predictions. That's tomorrow. Back with you for episode 671 on Sunday. And then, of course, Sunday night right here for the Clash of Champions recap. And I'm going to be hosting the Wrestle Rumble contest. Go to WrestleRumble.com. Pay $1. You could win 8 belts. 8-for-1. That's a hell of a ratio. And I get to pick the winner live here on the air on Sunday night. So be well. Stay safe. Thank you all for your support. All the mods in the chat, I thank you for all your work. You are awesome. Hopefully one of you at least can join me in the afternoon tomorrow, I hope. 1 o'clock. Come on in. Help me moderate things. And I'll see you guys tomorrow and again this weekend. Until then, take care, guys.